¿Qué te vale?
So good afternoon. I'd like to first of all thank you for inviting me to address you again here in Yeshiva University, in Yeshiva of Yitzhak Ochanan. And I would like to thank especially my very good friend, Rav Gaon Meir Goldrich, to arrange the shiur, and I'm very honored to be here. I would like to, we're going to have a thing a little bit more than an hour. I would like to spend the first half, and more than that, on a shiur on halacha, and afterwards I'll speak a little bit of our work in a conference of European rabbis, and I'll be open for a Q&A for anyone who is interested. The topic in halacha which I would like to discuss with you today is the topic of mechoes hager. Is a person who went through gior when he was underage, before the age of bas mitzvah or bar mitzvah. So this is called the gior katan. So this person has the possibility, at the age of bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, to protest and annul the gior which was done while he or she was a katan. And this is called the mechoe v'ger. And if you go and check with Batei Din today around the world, one of the oldest Batei Din existing in the world is the Beis Din of London. And you ask them how many cases of Mechoe Sager did they have in, I think, the history of 200 years. They didn't even have one case of a ger coming and an adult ger coming and saying, or ger the bar mitzvah saying, that he or she doesn't want to be Jewish. And actually, you go ask around what he did, it's something which actually, something which is not halacha lemaise. And the question is why? And actually, there's a very interesting, important sugya in Shas, and I would like to discuss some aspects of this issue, and why today we don't have a mechoe sager. We know that the main sugya of regarding Gior is in the Bavli, in Acheilitz, in Maseches Yevamis, but the sugi of the Gior Kotan is in Maseches Ksuvis Daf Yud Aleph. And over there, the base of the Ksuvis is a Mishnah, where it says that a Gioris went through a Gior earlier than when she was 3 years old, Ksuvasa Masayim, that she receives a Ksuvis. So actually you see that the Gior is possible while a person is underage. And Rav Huna, in the Gemara, by the way, that's you have in front of you, the source sheet, the first page, source number two, Omar Rav Huna, Gerkot Madbim also Adas Bezdin, my Kemashmon, the Schusulo, Zochin Lodem Shlobefon. So, how does Gio work underage? We know that for Gio you need the besides tvila and mila by a male, you also need the willingness of the person to become Jewish and Kabbalah mitzvot. And a katan is not able to do so. So Rav Huna holds that Bezdin can decide that it is a schus for this child to become Jewish. And Bezdin is taking the decision for this child. And the Gemara is trying to bring a raya from our mission that actually you can do gior while a person is a katan. And the Gemara says, no, maybe it's talking about a different case where parents come and bring their children to do gior. It's not the decision of the bezdin, it's the decision of the parents. And then Rav Yosef comes, and Rav Yosef says that Omar Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Nimchos, that even though it is possible to do a gior while people are underage and there is no actual Kabbalah Samitzos and no decision on behalf of the person going through a gior, however, when the person becomes a gadol at the age of 13 for a boy, at age 12 for a girl, they can protest the giyur and annul the giyur. This is the sugya, and it looks very straightforward. And actually, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, that's source number 7, is basically reflecting what the Pashas of the Gemara says, Ovet kochavim koton, im yesh lo av, yochalegayas, the father can bring the ger to be the child to be megayah, im ein lo av, if there's no father, then the mother can come, or the best day megayrim also sheskus who love zochin lo neshon lefonov, that's the din of Rav Huna, and then the Shulchan Aruch brings the din of Rav Yosef, bein koton shagiru ovi, bein shagiru bezdin, it doesn't matter if the parents brought the child, or the child was megayah through bezdin, yochol limchos mishayagdil ve'en dino kisrael, which means that the child, when it grows up, has the possibility to protest and annul the gil. However, if you take a look at the Rishonim between the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, and afterwards you take a look at the Achronim between the Shulchan Aruch to our times, there is a huge discussion about many issues dealing with and the giyur of a katan, as well as how the mechor of the protesting of the ger once he or she grows up. The first issue, Tosfos is asking this, the question: how does zochin leodom shelo befonav work? Schir is mitam shlichus, by katan there is no shlichus. And Tosfos is trying to answer the question that actually, according to one answer, is that that the giyur is actually only the rabbanan, and afterwards it's turning a giyur d'oraisa. And there's another explanation also. The other Rishon explanation is the Shita Mekubetzes, trying to explain in different ways how actually the giyur works if you don't have kabbalas mitzvot. So that's one issue which is being discussed. The Rishonim are also discussing the issue if there is a difference between parents who bring children to be megayah, or it's a decision of the bezin. It's lalach. It makes a very big difference if you have adopted children. It's not the father who brings it. Adoption is it's a person who is not related bringing the child. So you have actually. You have the das of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim hold that that mechor applies to all cases. Doesn't matter, as the Shulchan Aruch says, doesn't matter if the parents bring the child or the bezdin decides to be megayah the child. However, you have the der of the Ramban and others who say that that only if the parents bring the child, then the child can be mocher. However, if Bezdin is Megayah, Das Bezdin, we have a klal, Im Ken Makwach Bezdin Yafe. Rip this also by Yerush and other places, in order not to undo a decision of the Bezdin, once Bezdin decided that it's a schus for this child to be Megayah, we cannot go back on that, and it is impossible to annul the gear once a child grows up. On the other side, you have the shitta of, also brought by the tour. You have the shitta of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who says just the opposite, that if the Bezdin is Megaya, then the din of Rabbi Yosef applies that Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. However, if the parents are Megaya, then it is impossible. The child cannot go back on the Gil. And the explanation is also a different explanation. And here we're going to how does the mechor exactly work? But what is the basic difference? Rashi alludes to it between if parents bring or the bezdin brings. If the parents bring the child, it is a full schus. If it's only the bezdin, it's not a full schus. And here we're going to the shaila. What is a schus for a child? Why is it a schus to become Jewish? Is it only a schus, a spiritual schus? But sometimes if the parents are megayah with the child together, it's not only a spiritual schus for the child, it is also a material schus for the child, because the child is of the same religion than the parents, And therefore, it is a total schuz. If it is a total schuz, then you cannot protest the act which is afterwards was done. However, this business may guide the child without the parents, it's not a total schuz. So that's how the shita of the Bahag is being explained. What I would like to discuss today is there is a mystery here in this whole sugya. One is the Das HaRif, the day of the Rif, and also there is a big stira in the Rambam. The Rif brings Laloche, the day of Rafuna, the Rif brings here in Ksuvis, that yes, you can do Gior on Ktanim. However, the din of Rav Yosef, that Higdilu Yecholim Limchos, the Rif does not bring. And the question is why? The Rishonim are asking on the Rif, why did the Rif not bring the halacha that Rav Yosef says, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos la'alacha? The second question is Estira in the Rambam. If you take a look at source number 3, on the second page, source number 3, the Rambam in Hilchas Geirus, which is in Hilchas Yisuri Bia Per Yud Gimel, writes that Ger Kotam Abin Lo Sal Das Bezun Sheschusi Lo, this is the dinner of Huna, that's it. Ger Kotam Abin Lo Sal Das Bezun Sheschusi Lo, he does not make a difference between a child being misguided through Bezdin or by the parents, and he totally omits and does not mention the din of Rav Yosef, like the Rif. Doesn't mention the din of Rav Yosef, that Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. However, if we look in source number 4, in the Rambam, in Hilchas Melachim, it says, the Ben Noach Shenizgaya Umol V'Tovol V'Akach Rotzal Lachzom Achrei Hashem V'Lios Ger Tosho Bilvag Kishoyo Mikodem Ein Shomim Lo. A girl who decided that he made a mistake and wants to go back to his original religion, it was Ovid Kochavim, Ein Shomim, he wants to become a regular Ben Noach, Ein Shomim Lo, he cannot. Ela Yisrael, because once you're Jewish, you cannot change it. But v'im hoya koton k'shid bilo beizdin. However, if the gear was done while it was under bar or bas mitzvah, yochol limchuz b'shoshi yagdil. He can. That's the din of Rav Yosef. He can do mechor b'yeger toshav bilvad, and he's going to have a din of a ger toshav. So that's the din of Rav Yosef. Higdilu yocholim limchuz. So the big question here in the Rambam: why in Hilchas Melachim, where the Rambam discusses the din of Ben Noach, he mentions the halacha of Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos, and why the Rambam in Hilchas Isur Ebir, where he discusses Hilchos Giyu, he doesn't mention the din of Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. On these two questions, why did the Rif not mention the din of Rav Yosef? Why did the Rambam mention it in one place and did not mention the second place? There are basically three answers mentioned. One is the Bach is trying to answer that, and the Chasam Sofer is answering that, and also one of the Achron Achronim, Bisrael Yaakov Fisher, the Ravid of Deida Chredis in his Sefer Evan Yisrael, is trying to answer that. So let's first go to the answer of the Bach. That's in source number 6. The Bach says, and that's something which he says, the halacha of Rav Yosef, Igdilo Yecholim Limchos, is something which has to do to the question if you can punish or you can make sanctions against a person who decided he does not want to stay Jewish. So the Bach says, these are halachos which are not nogea lezman hazeh. Why? In the zman habayis, so if a person, any citizen of a Jewish state who did not keep the mitzvahs, whether it's a ben noach or a Jew, he was liable to be brought to a bezdin and punished. So it's a question if a person has the status of a Jew or refuse or disavows his status as a Jew, and then the question is, what if such a person should be punished, should not be punished? So the Rambam says in the Chasam Melachim that if it's a Ger Godol, he cannot go back, and therefore if he goes back, he has to be seen as a Jew and has to be sanctioned like a Jew. Another person is a Ger Katan, can go back. However, it says, in our times, it's not in Sha'ein Tzorch Bezman Hazeh. Man Hazeh, the Bach, I would like to remind you, was the father-in-law of the Taz. And the Taz was the head of the Vad Arba Arotos, was the Jewish autonomy in these four countries in Eastern Europe, which had judicial autonomy. But they had only judicial autonomy over Jews. They didn't have judicial autonomy over non-Jews. So he said that if a person is going to leave Yiddishkeit, he cannot be sanctioned because it's not a Jew. So it's not halacha, which is nogea bezman hazeh. And this is the reason why the Rif did not mention this halacha. And this is also the reason why the Rambam mentioned this only in Hilchos Malachim, which is nogea bezman habayis. However, it is not nogea bezman hazeh because we do not have the responsibility or judicial authority to sanction or to punish people who are not part of the Jewish faith. This is what the Bach is answering. However, you see in the Bach itself that he has a problem with that, because actually we're not only discussing here the question of jurisdiction, of punishment. We're deciding what is the status of the person. Can the person change his status from being Jewish to not Jewish or not? So it's not the question of the Kiddushin or Kiddushin. So the Bach tries to say, you know, a person who's living Yiddishkeit and lives like a goy, he most probably is not going to be Mekadosh a woman. There's not going to be a problem so kind of Eishes Ish. But the Bach is trying, he has a problem, Bach to some extent has a problem explaining why it is halacha which is not Nogea Bezman Hazeh. Because the question of Mechoy is not only a question pertaining to the question of sanctions or punishment. The question, what is the status of a person? Is the status of a person, is he Ben Yisrael, or is he seen as a Ben Noach? Can I may ask for a glass of water, maybe? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. The Chasam Sofer, you see, source number 8, comes up with a different answer. Why the Rif did not mention Halacha of Rav Yosef, and to explain the steer of the Rambam. The Chassid Sofer was asked the following question. If you do to Gior to a Katan, should you make a bracha, or shouldn't you make a bracha? Because usually they make a bracha. A bracha by the Bris Milah, make a bracha by the Tevila also. Should you make a bracha or not? What's the question? Because if the Katan will have the possibility to protest the Gior after it grows up, so it's going to be a bracha levatala. So this was the question which Hassan Sofer was asked. And he's answering, he's going back, and he's saying that that's one of the, it doesn't happen often that the Hassan Sofer is cholek on the Shulchan Aruch. The Hassan Sofer here goes against the Shulchan Aruch. And the Hassan Sofer says, the din of the Shulchan Aruch, that any katan who went through Gio can be moche, can protest the Gio when you go up, he disagrees with. Why? Because of the shita, and he says, and that's the day of the Rif, and that's also the das of the Rambam. He says, that's how he explains also the stira and the Rambam. He says, only if the Bezdin is Megaya, a child, without the parents, then you can do a Mechoy. Then you can annul the Gio when the child goes up. However, if the father comes as Megaya with the child, then it is chus gadol, it is impossible to do mechoy, and therefore, in such a case, that's how he explains why, this is how he explains it. He explains like this, that in Hilchos Esure Bia, in the Rambam in Hilchos Esure Bia, when he talks about Ger Kotam Adbil No Osal Das Bezin Shesrus Hilo Murber Shiz Gayer Vetovla, he talks about a cotton who comes with his parents. A cotton who comes with his parents, you can not do a Mechoy. And this is why the Rambam does not mention the din of Rav Yosef in Hilchos Esur Bia. However, in Hilchos Melachim, we're talking maybe a cotton who went through Gior Al Das Bezin without the parents. And therefore, over there, the din of Rav Yosef is mentioned. So, we're coming out that the Laloch HaLamayseh, Halacha lemaisa, the Chasam Sofer holds that mecha is only possible if the parents did not giur with the child. At the source number one, I have here something which is a tshuva written by Rav Eliyahu Bakshi Doron, the Rishon Lezion. This was published in Sridim, which is the Torah journal of the Conference of European Rabbis. And he was asked a question by a person who afterwards became my mechotan, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Yakirei Yerushalayim. There was a yeshiva bacha in one of the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. He was 15 years old, and he just found out that he went through Gio while he was a child, and he decided he doesn't want, he doesn't need it, and he decided he learned the yeshivas. He knew there's a din mechoy, so he decided I don't want to be Jewish, and so. The Rosh Hashivas and the parents came to thank you very much. So the question is, if this is considered the Mechoy, and is this Yeshiva Bacha considered the Goy or a Jew? So Here are the few questions. The first question is, the child was already 15 years old. And we know there's halach in mechoy. The mechoy has to happen right away. If the mechoy does not happen right away, so, and the child was already knowing minhage yadus, right at the time of the bar and bas mitzvah, so this is really considered that the child was mekabel on himself the Gio, and here the child, but however, the child just found out now that he went through Gio. Very interesting question. Reb Moshe Feinstein and also the Minchas Yitzchak both write in the Svarim that as long as the child did not know that he had a Gio, and the moment the child finds out that he had a giyur, that's like the moment of the bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, and that's the reason, at that time, he can do a mechoy. It doesn't matter if a person is 15 years old or a person is 90 years old. But if you don't know that you went through giyur, the fact that you know it minhage yadus is not male, not morin. Therefore, Moshe holds that you have, if the child was Mizgaya at a very young age, so you have to tell the child right away at the time of Bar Mitzvah or Bas Mitzvah that you went through Gio, that not later the child is going to marry a Jewish girl, and after 20 years going to say, I just found out that I went through Gio and I don't want to be Jewish. So what the Moshe says and what the Minchas Yitzchak said is actually a marshal. It's a Yamshel Shlomo and Ksuvos who says this, that actually that you need the knowledge of the Gio in order to do a mecha or not do a mecha. Very interesting thing. Actually, that's a total separate discussion. What happens at the time of the Bar Mitzvah? Even according to Tosfos, that the Giyur Drabban becomes into Giyur Doraisa. What is happening at the time of Bar Mitzvah? So, according to some Rishonim, what is happening that at the moment Bar Mitzvah, what was lacking to a child, the child does not have a shlichus, and therefore there's no din zochin, only midrabbanan. The din zochin turns to the din Doraisa at the time of Bar Mitzvah. According to some other Rishonim, no, at the time, what was lacking was the Kabbalah's mitzvos. Now, the Kabbalah's mitzvos is happening when a child turns bar mitzvah and does not do a mechoy. Interesting enough, Reb Moshe Feinstein, I see that I just got the sefer yesterday, Sefer Mesoras Moshe, writes a child grew up in a non-religious home. It means, what does it mean to be Maudia when a child grows up? So even if the child says he doesn't know what it means to be Jewish, it means to being Jewish and lighting Hanukkah candles, right? If the child says, I want to do that, that's already noeg minhage yadus enough that it should be like a Kabbalah's mitzvot. And second explanation is, what has happened in the time of Bar Mitzvah is becoming a total schus. Till now, it was not a schus because we didn't know if the child wants to be mekayim mitzvos. But once the child goes up and says, I want to be Jewish, it becomes from a partial schus to a total schus. And therefore, that's how the gear works. And there's a third explanation. That's the moment of Kabbalah's mitzvos. Other Rishonim say, you don't need Kabbalah's mitzvos because a child does not need, when you do a gear to a child, you don't need Kabbalah's mitzvos. There is a third attempt to explain the steer in the Rambam. If you take a look in source number 9, that's the Even Yisrael, that's the Yisrael Yankov Fisher. A very Lamdish attempt. He goes into the Shaila if a person goes, if the Gio, depending on what the child is going to say when he grows up, is if it's taloi, if it's dependent on the question of yesh breire or en breire. And he says that this only the din of Rav Yosef only works if you hold yesh breire bedoraisa, but lalocha you hold it en breire bedoraisa, and therefore the Rif did not bring the din of Rav Yosef lalocha. And it also is trying to explain the Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees with the Rif, and he doesn't hold that this Shaila of Gio, depending on the decision of the child, once the child grows up, is not told in the Din Breira. It is Gio, right away Gio now, because the Bezin decides. And what the child afterwards, growing up child, annuls it, is a different Din. Therefore, the Din of Gio, he wrote in the Ichlas, is Surabia. The din of annulment he wrote in the halachas of Benoch. That's how he tries to explain. It's a very lamdish way. It doesn't fully satisfy me, but that's how the Yisrael Yankov Fisher tries to explain the Rif and the Steer and the Rambam. Beshuschem, I would like to propose a new way how to explain the Steer and the Rambam, also the Asa Rif. I would like to explain that, I would like to first of all look to Or Sameach. The Or Sameach, take a look in source number 10. Or Sameach is trying to explain something. He goes on the Rambam Hilchos Melachim. He explains that once a katan, shagadal, is moche, is protesting the Gio, the child does not become a regular ben Noach, according to the Rambam. The child becomes a ger toshav. The child becomes a ger toshav. Why? Because it explains that for giru, ger tzedek, you need rotzon, you need das, we need your goodwill. We need the goodwill of the person. If it's against the rotzon of a person, we cannot force a person to become a ger. Therefore, katan shagadol mocha, the giru is batel. However, to become a ger toshav, we can do against the will of the people, and therefore the person stays a ger toshav after the gil. What do we see from this Or Sameach? Actually, we see from this Or Sameach a very interesting yisod in the Rambam. We see the yisod in the Rambam, how the Or Sameach understood the Rambam. When a person goes through gil, not one thing happens. Two things happen. Two steps. By going through gil, A, you becoming a ger toshav. And number two, you're becoming a ger tzedek. It's like going up a building. You're going up to the first floor and going up to the second floor. And when you fall back, you're falling back to the first floor. You become a ger toshav. You become a ger toshav. After you mocha on the Gio, you become a ger toshav. So basically, two things are happening when you go through Gio. You become a ger toshav, you become a ger tzed. So, and why do we need that? If you take a look in the source number 11, that's a Chibin Rav in Dovim Mesharim, he's asking a question Shita Mekubetzes, how can we let a ktana, an underage girl, marry a Jewish boy if why should we be choshesh that afterwards should be moche, should protest the gil? So he says, so he responds that yes, she can protest the gil, and she's not going to be a ger tzedek anymore, but she's going to remain a ger toshav. And the issue, the prohibition of a Jew to live with a ger toshav together, is only issue the rabbanan. In this case, it's a mitzvah lo shchicha. In such a case, chachamim did not impose this issue. So basically, what we see over here, to what extent the fact that the child does not only become a ger tzedek, the child becomes a ger toshav, is very important. Now, let's look at the last source of the Rambam. The Rambam says the following: In ein mekablim ger toshav ela bizman shayovel noeg. Aval bizman hazeh afilu kibel olav kol ha'toru kulo chutz midiktuk echad ein mekablim osu. The Rambam says something that, like an eved, ger toshav is totally in the yovel. If there is no yovel, that's in Perek Yudalet and Hichus Yisurubir, where there is no yovel, there is no ger toshav. Okay. Now, let's go back. I think that explanation of the Rambam is very simple. The Rambam holds that the din of Rav Yosef, that Higdilu Yecholim Limchos, can only work in case the person can remain a ger toshav. If the person cannot remain a ger toshav, you cannot go back from being Jew to become a regular ben Noach. That's impossible. This is impossible. Therefore, the Rif did not bring the halacha, and therefore in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes that that source number 4. בנוח שנסגר ירומול וטוב על וכך רוצה לחזור מאחרי השם ולהיות גר תושב בלבד כשהוא מקודם אין שומעים לו. The grown-up person cannot go back on the gyur. אלא יהיה כישראל לכל דבר. ואם היה קוטן כשבילו בעזדין יוכל למחוז בשור שיגדיל ויהיה גר תושב בלבד. A cotton can go to the level of גר תושב. But for this you need a גר תושב. And the Rambam says, in our times there is no גר תושב. So if there's no ger toshav, there's no mechor. However, and in the time of Hichas Melachim, the Bizman Abayis, there was a ger toshav. So the din of Rav Yosef, Igdilu Yichol Nimchos, is only Bizman Abayis where there is a ger toshav. However, in Hichas Yisur Ebiye, he talks Bizman Hazeh, there is no ger toshav, because there is no ger toshav. Therefore, the din of Rav Yosef is not accepted lalach. Comes out, that, according to my chiddush, the Rambam holds today, in no case, not in the case of the Bo'ovi Vigiro, not Aldas Bezin, there is no Mechor Sager today. At all. Today, there is no Mechor Sager, because we cannot allow a Ger to become back a regular Ben Noach. You can only go from Ger Tzedek to Ger Toshav. Today, there is no Ger Toshav. There is no Ger Toshav. There is no Mechor. And therefore, today, there is no Mechor. But Bakshi Doron also in his Psak also writes, he basically relies on the Chasam Sofer. Today is also when parents come with children and the Megai with children, so there is no Din Mechor. Besides the older problem, today, according to many Shittas, once you pass Bar and Bas Mitzvah, exactly the moment, you were Noig with Minag Yadus, you cannot be Moche. So today, that's the reason why the whole issue of Mechor has become a very remote, a very impractical issue, and that's the reason why this whole din of mechor has become a very abstract issue, which is not practiced today. So this is what I wanted to say on the shiur b'halacha. Let me say a few words about our work we're doing with the conference. If you've been rabbis, understand I'm sitting here with the smicha students, the future manhigim klal Yisrael, and of communities. Europe is very different than the United States. In the United States, orthodoxy is a minority for the time being. The orthodox communities with orthodox shuls and orthodox rabbanim are unfortunately a minority of the community life in the United States. In Europe, the 1.6 million Jews left in Europe from Russia till Ireland. 10% of the communities are organized, I would call the Haredi communities, with Haredi Rabbanim, and all of the members are 100% Torah observant. And 10% of the communities are organized along the Reform, Liberal, Conservative. 80% of the communities, these are called the general communities, are organized in the members from all different kinds of members of the community. You have from Shomer Shabbos to people who are totally irreligious. However, the shul of the community and the rav of the community are Orthodox. And we in the Conference of European Rabbis, we unite the 80%. We unite 700 rabbanim in those communities. And we have challenges which I would say the communal rabbis here in the United States have not, and we have less challenges over there than you have over here. We have the challenges we deal with are from the inside, are from the outside. From the outside, we have as a backlash against the Muslim immigration to Europe, the more than 40 million Muslims who live today in Europe. In the European Union, we have more than 42 million Muslims among 456 million citizens today, before Brexit. It's about 10-12%. And the backlash against the Muslim immigration was, we'll call it old Europe, has been attacking practices of Islam, especially against halal, against bris milah, and we are the collateral damages. So many countries in Germany, in Poland, in Scandinavia, Switzerland, there are attempts to curtail and to infringe on religious liberties, and let us, especially regarding bris milah and shechita, and we on a daily basis have to work with the governments and with the European Union to maintain the religious liberties of the Jewish communities. As of late, there has been an additional attack against religious liberties has been regarding chinuch. Used to be that nobody cared what was taught in yeshivas and in day schools. Today, governments, very much because of the terrorist threat, governments very much care what is being taught, what is not being taught. And the government is butting in and demanding many demands, not only from schools which receive money from the government, but also from private schools. In some countries, let's say in Switzerland, the government closed down the yeshiva ketana. So besides that, the biggest threat is, of course, the security threat from terrorism. The good news is today that Europeans have realized that today every European is a target. So it's not a Jewish problem, it is a European problem. However, the problem is the cost of providing security for every shul, for every community center, for every school, which is staggering. Here, I think in the United States, I think you're also in a new position after Pittsburgh. But in some communities, for example, in Finland, in Helsinki, which is a small community, but 1,000 members, 54% of the budget of the community goes towards security. Munich, which has 10,000 members, the budget going to, they have 18 people working full-time on security. And in some countries, like in Switzerland, the government tells the Jews, you know, you're rich enough, take care of your own security. So we in the Conference of European Rabbis, we are the voice of Judaism in Europe. We are, there is no liberal equivalent. And there's no Agudas Yisrael, there's no nothing, no OU. We are the voice of Judaism working with the governments and dealing with the challenges from the outside. Now, besides that, we have also challenges from the inside. And I would say that, historically speaking, the reason why Europe stayed Orthodox in terms of the rabbinate, in terms of the shuls, was also many thanks to the Conference of European Rabbis, which was the main religious body which kept communities in line with halacha and with our tradition. But we have, since most of the leaders, the lay leaders of the communities are Jews who are not Torah-practicing Jews, many of them are assimilated, there is a very strong pressure against many communal rabbis to be as lenient as possible in terms of conversions. Every one of those leaders has children, grandchildren who are intermarrying, and they want to take care of the problem. So they're going to the rabbi, who is an employee of the community, and say, listen, I want you to take care of the problem which we have in our family. And the rabbis who are employees, they're scared that they're going to be fired if they're not going to comply. So we in the Conference of European Rabbis, we have installed rules that only regional Batidin can deal with conversions, so there should be no pressure against local rabbis, communal rabbis, to deal with this issue. So we are strengthening the rabbinate in many ways, not only in terms of gear, in many other ways also. In France and in Great Britain, you have a very strong chief rabbinate, a central rabbinate in Batidin, but in the smaller countries, there's no central rabbinate and no Batidin. There are many halakhic problems, so we fill in and we work as a chief rabbinate of Europe in all those countries. So that's one of our big success stories, and I would like to finish with that, and then I'll answer questions. One of the problems we're dealing with outside of Israel is the Aguna question. In Israel, you know, if a person doesn't want to comply with the decision of a Beit Din and give it, or refuses to come to Beit Din to divorce his wife, the person is being arrested and is going to jail. We talked about Makoach Beit Din Yafe. Outside of Israel, any religious affiliation is totally voluntary. And here in the United States, you might have less of a problem because those people who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvot, the halachic significance of a non-Orthodox marriage does not make an aguna. However, in Europe, the great majority of Jews get married according to halacha because the rabbi of the community is an Orthodox rabbi. So even though you're totally secular, when you come to do a chuppah, you come to in the Orthodox shul, the Orthodox rabbi. The chuppah is a chuppah with kosher edim, and then when the husband divorces civilly and goes and lives with a non-Jewish woman, has a totally new family, and leaves his wife as an agona, and she cannot get remarried, there is no way to force the husband to give a get to his wife. So in our last convention, our convention 5 years ago, we came up with two ideas which we have implemented. One idea is that, knowing the situation today in Europe, where every European Jew thinks that maybe one day I'm going to have to run away to Israel, I'm going to have to emigrate to Israel, I have a brother, I have parents, I have children, I have to go there for a bar mitzvah. Israel is much more central to the life of European Jews than American Jews because it's much, much closer. So we asked the Israeli parliament to change the law of the jurisdiction of the rabbinical courts, the Batei Adin Rabbanim, and extend jurisdiction to people who are not citizens of Israel and who do not live in Israel, pertaining to aguna cases. Because it means that if, let's say, a person lives in Moscow or in London or in Paris or anywhere else, and does not give a get to his wife, and let's say there's a letter from the Beis Din in the city that the person refused to come to a Beis Din or refused to comply with the decision of a Beis Din, the person arrives in Israel, he can't be arrested the moment he arrives in Ben-Gurion Airport. So We worked for 5 years to get this law passed. Actually, we worked with not only with the religious parties, we worked with the head of the women's lobby of the Knesset. Her name is Aliza Levi. She is from the Yesh Atid party, which is an anti-clerical party. And the law was proposed 3 Knessets ago, didn't pass, the Knesset was dispersed, went again with the support of 14 Knesset members. But the foreign ministry stopped the law. Why did the foreign ministry stop the law? Because they thought that if there's going to be a precedent that Israeli law is going to be applied to people who are not Israeli citizens and did something outside of Israel, this can backfire when, for example, Israeli officers go to Europe and they're going to be arrested for something they did against Palestinians. So we rewrote the law to very specifically that it's a human rights law to help Agunas, which is a human rights issue, and became a government-proposed law, and it passed in May, 42 votes for and 22 votes against. Since we passed the law, over 15 cases of Agunas were solved in Israel, and over 20 cases out of Israel were solved. Why? Because today, for example, I'm the Av Besdin of Moscow. If I call somebody and say, listen, come to the Besdin, we have an issue, your wife is still in Agunas, you're already remarried. So till now, you could just close the phone and ignore me totally. But today, if I tell this person, listen, if you're not going to come, Israel is going to be close to you, that's a whole different mahalach. So it basically, Koach Besdin Yofi empowers the rabbinate outside of Israel to deal with the Agunas issue, and this has been one of our great successes, which we have done in the last few months. Anyway, again, thank you very much for listening. I'll be happy to answer questions. If there are.
A question on the halacha shir.
Yeah.
Assuming that we... the Golan is used to say that we have Bogoski Akata. If the Ger... If the Kassan